And as far as in prayer to gracious Father, once again we approach thy word tonight, and we ask you, Lord, to be with our tongue, be with our mouth, Lord, and our heart as we speak forth your word. I pray you give me energy to get through the sermon, Lord, and I just pray you'd help your people to receive, Lord, and may it be applied in their life, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. The week before last Sunday, we spoke from paragraph 45 of Brother Branham's sermon, Who is This Melchizedek? And we focused our attention on Brother Branham's comments about fellowship and worship. Our thoughts focused upon the principle that true worship brings true fellowship, and the only way that you can truly have genuine fellowship is by entering into true worship. The next paragraph that Brother Branham said, actually there was a couple things that he mentioned, but before we get that, let me just review a little bit. We had talked about, you know, if you, John had told us that there's an order to coming into fellowship, and there's a certain way that we must walk that brings us into fellowship. He said in 1 John 1 and verse 5, he said, "This then is the message which we have heard from him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him, and we walk in darkness, we lie not, and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive only ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Now, you cannot walk just any way that you wish to walk. You cannot come into just any old light that you wish to come into, and not just any light will do. The light of Luther, the light of Wesley, the light of Moses, the light of Noah, it wouldn't work in this hour. John said, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we're walking in the light of his presence, and no other light will do. If you've got a light that does not bear the presence of Christ, then that light is no good for us in this hour. In Isaiah, he said, chapter 50, verse 10, he said, "Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all you that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your own fire, and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have of my hand. You shall lie down in sorrow." So nothing becomes of the person that walks according to the dictates of his own heart. You must walk according to the dictates of God. And we find in Matthew then, Brother Branham had brought out in Matthew 22 the parable that of the wedding supper. Matthew 22 and verse 1, "And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables. And he said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage of his sons. And he sent forth his servant to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatling are killed, and all things are ready, come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their way, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. And the remnant took his servants, and entreated them spitefully, and slew them. But when the king heard thereof, he was wroth, and he sent forth his armies, and destroyed those murderers, and burnt up their city. Then saith he to his servants, The wedding is ready, but they which were bidden were not worthy. Go ye therefore into the highways, and as many as ye shall find, bid to the marriage. So those servants went out into the highways, and gathered together all as many as they found, both bad and good, and the wedding was furnished with guests. And when the king came in to see the guests, he saw that there was a man there that had not a wedding garment. And he saith unto him, Friend, how camest thou in hither, having not a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Then said the king to the servant, Bind him hand and foot, and take him away, and cast him out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And we know that this represents the tribulation period, as Brother Branham has stated to us. Now, in the message, Cruelty of Sin, Brother Branham speaks of this parable and lets us know that this man entered not in through the door, which means he came not through the Word, for Christ is the Word. He's the door. Also in Questions and Answers, Brother Branham said, Someone wrote, "Dear Brother Branham, please explain St. Matthew 22. How did this guest get into the wedding supper who had on a garment but didn't have on one of the wedding garments?" And Brother Branham said, "Remember, I kind of pulled a little joke. I said, he was a denominational brother who came in by the window and not by the door. The door is the word." So Brother Branham kind of made, we really don't know exactly, but the fact is he came in another way. So we'll have to say he was a denominational brother. And that's kind of the way Brother Brown says, I kind of made a joke of it, but that's, in other words, they had their creeds, their dogmas, everything else, but they didn't have the word. "Therefore, this man did not come by the word of God, but he came in some other way. And we know that Christ is the door and he is the word. Therefore, this man did not come by the way of the word, neither was he dressed by the Holy Spirit in the garment of the word." And notice also, somehow he got a glimpse of the wedding supper. Now remember, Brother Branham said that the wedding is now, the marriage is now. But we go to that other dimension, we go to the wedding supper. And while we're at the wedding supper, back here is out of chaos and tribulation. This guy got a glimpse. Somehow he got into that other dimension, but was kicked back out. What does it mean? I don't know. I have no clue. Does it mean, as Brother Brown said, he got in some other way? He got in by tradition, creeds, or whatever? Could it be that at that great gathering that someone speaks of a gathering time? Is there going to be a gathering time? I don't know. This person got wind of it, came, because he didn't have the Holy Ghost, he was kicked out. But the Ram says the Holy Ghost is the garment. And we know the Holy Ghost is actually the portion of the Word, because you're dressed in the Word, Brother Ram's told us. So, anyway. So he's put out into the tribulation period. Now this guy somehow made it into the place, that dimensional place where the wedding supper was taking place, and then was thrown back out because he was not dressed in the Holy Spirit. He did not come by the way of the Word. He knew about the wedding supper. He knew all about it, but he did not receive a new birth by the Word. Now, if Alpha is repeated in Omega, I just wonder how many witnesses of the resurrection of Jesus Christ are people who fit this parable. Remember, when Jesus was raised from the dead, Abraham and Sarah and many of the dead saints that arose walked the streets and were seen of many. And yet, many are called, but few actually make it. Few are chosen. In Matthew 27, verse 50, we pick up Jesus, when he had cried with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost, and behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and the bodies of the saints which slept, they arose, and came out of the graves after his resurrection. And they went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now the word many is the Greek word polis, and it means many or much or great or large in number. Therefore, it was not a small number that saw them, that saw the resurrected saints, that saw the resurrection taking place. And what effect did it have on them? That's what I'd like to know. These people saw Abraham and Sarah. They saw the resurrection taking place. They were aware of it. Many, it says, no small number. And yet, where were they? What became of them? Remember the parable that Jesus tells about the rich man who lifted up his eyes from hell. He asked Abraham to speak to his family that they might avoid hell. And Abraham said, "If they do not believe the prophets, though one were raised from the dead, they still won't believe." Could this young man be like that man in the parable that Jesus told? Will there come a time in the resurrection that people will be aware and they'll keep on going about their business as usual? As it was in the days of Noah, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they carried on business. Meanwhile, Noah was busy preparing an ark for the saving of his home. I ask the question. In Luke 16, verse 19, there was a certain man, rich man, which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and he fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy goods, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have 5 brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham. Notice he's arguing. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses, Abraham says to the man, if they won't hear Moses, and they won't hear the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I wonder, when the resurrection begins, and there will be saints who will see it and partake of it, and they'll tell others, and the others may even see inklings of the supernatural taking place, of a resurrected presence or a resurrected signature of some sort. And yet they'll still go on in their ways. Remember also on the day of Pentecost, nearly 3,000 souls were said to be to have believed. And yet at the end of the first church age, there were only a handful. And in fact, we find the admonition going forth in the book of Revelation telling us that many in that first church age had left their first love. Could these also be like the man who did not come in by the word and therefore was not dressed in the Holy Spirit? In Acts 2 and verse 41 we read, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now notice, it did not say that they received the word, but his word. Let me read it again. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. They didn't receive the word, they received his word. These people today, following the message, have received his word, but they haven't received the word. Because they cannot distinguish between God and God's word, and they have no clue as to what the man was saying. That's why when Jesus said, I speak to them in parables because two groups of people are going to be listening. One's going to hear and understand, the other's going to hear and not understand. And yet those same people that don't understand, they go away and they say, wasn't that a wonderful sermon? Wasn't that a great story that Brother Branham told? The same word, rejected by one, accepted and received by the other. Why did they reject it? Because it didn't come according to their understanding. Why did the others receive it? Because their understanding was changed. You see? Again, we see in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 1, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you that the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you now stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory that I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture, and that he was seen of Cephas, 1, then of the 12, that's 13. After that he was seen of about 500 brethren all at once, 513. Of whom the greater part remain unto this present, but some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen of James, 514, then of all the apostles, and last of all he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. Well, what about the 120? He was seen of 500 at one time. Could the 120 be part of that 500? Maybe, maybe not. So you're talking about at least 500 plus, possibly 632 people that saw him after the resurrection. All in the same locale, Jerusalem. Now, Paul did not mention the women who saw him, like Mary, who saw him at the tomb, but I am sure that she was among those 500 who saw him all at once. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1, we read, "The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost, had given commandment unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." In other words, he was seen of many, 500 plus. Now, there were many, many, many people who saw Jesus after his resurrection, and yet we find the numbers became fewer and fewer by the end of the first church age, according to Revelations, chapter 2, verse 1. "Now unto the angel of the church of the Ephesus write, These things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say that they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for thy name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hast hated the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God." Now this young man who had somehow gotten into the wedding supper was found out. He was rejected and thrown back into the tribulation period. From the message, "What shall we do with Jesus?" Brother Branham said, "All's written in the book will escape it." Now we find out the little flock is ready for the dynamics to move it up into the skies to escape all this tribulation. Someone said the other day when I was talking, said, "Brother Branham, you don't believe then that the church will go through the tribulation?" And I said, "I believe the church will, but not the bride. The bride will go through the church will go through the tribulation, yes, sir, but the bride's free from it. She'll go in the rapture in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. She'll be caught up to meet the Lord in the air for the wedding supper. She has nothing to go through any tribulation about. Her Lord has paid her price. We're so thankful for that, yes, sir." Now, I believe people can be pardoned, but you see, only the elect can be justified. You know why? Because his seed remaineth in her. You see, God cannot sin. And if his seed remaineth in you, you can't sin. You can't disbelieve. Then who did it? It wasn't you. Brother Bram said, "You find out it wasn't you. You never did it in the first place," is what he said. That's true justification. Yet the church can be pardoned. But see, if you're truly justified, you don't need a pardon. If you're truly justified, you never did it to begin with. Therefore, the ones who need a pardon is the church. The true son or daughter of Christ, he's been redeemed, brought back. Now, the fact is, you can't be redeemed if you weren't there to begin with. Because redeemed means to be bought back. Brother Van goes on, "And after the rejection of both church and nation, there was only one cry came. The next move was, get rid of it." That's the next cry that we have. The church has firmly turned down the Holy Spirit. We know it has. Members has come out of everything. That's the great call. Presbyterian, Methodist, Baptist, Lutheran. But the church itself, the denomination, it can't move. No, sir, it's already denominated. What's the thing of it now? Crucify it. What? Crucifying afresh. What? A vindicated word to be the truth. God's word crucified afresh. Just as he corrupted the whole physical world by rejecting one little bit of God's word, so has the church did the same thing. You may say to me, Brother Branham, you've got the wrong interpretation of it. Well, that's to your opinion. God don't need any interpreter. God is his own interpreter. That's what the trouble of it is today. We got too many man-made interpreters. God cannot interpret himself. His own vindication of his word, excuse me, God can interpret himself. His own vindication of his word is the interpretation. The Pharisees might have cried out too. We got the interpretation. The Sadducees said, we got it. But Jesus was the interpretation. The manifestation of God's revealed power promised is the vindication. Read the scriptures and see what the church is supposed to do today. Yes, sir. God don't need any interpreter. That's what they done to Jesus. They found out back there that they thought that he didn't have the interpretation. But he was the interpretation. God didn't have to interpret it. Jesus' life interpreted it. He says, search the scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life. They are they that testify of me. And if I do not the works of my Father, then believe me not. If the works that were spoke of this day don't manifest itself in me, he said, then don't believe it. And that is the key to studying the message and the day and the hour of God's visitation here in this hour. Time and time again I hear Brother Branham tell us that the manifestation of God's word is his interpretation. As we move forward in Brother Ram's sermon, who is this Melchizedek? We see him say that the same thing in paragraph 45. Now notice now he says, he made man and man fell. So he came down and redeemed man because God loves to be worshipped. The very word God means object of worship, and this that comes among us is the pillar of fire as something that changes our heart. That is the same God that said, let there be light, and there was light. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now notice here, there are two statements being made. One speaks of a pillar of fire, which Brother Branham taught us, is the anointing upon the presence of God, showing his presence here with us. And the other statement speaks of God speaking forth his own word, and then bringing that word to pass, or into manifestation. And then he says, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Then this is true. Then we must, and if it's true, then we must find what part of the word was for the hour, for this hour, and then we must see the manifestation of that word being brought to pass, and that is what we're talking about. In other words, if you can't see the word coming to pass, then the word is not a reality to you. It's just a psychology. But if you can see that word coming to pass, then that word has become a reality, and a reality means real. See, not just talk. Jesus said, if you don't believe me, believe the works, the vindication. As Brother Lamb said, they didn't want to turn down their own interpretation when Jesus was the interpretation. And I think I can be so bold as to say that Brother Branham was the interpretation in this hour of the word made manifest and made flesh. By many, many scriptures spoken of that God himself would come down with a shout and it'd be a prophetic shout. And therefore God manifested his word. And how did he do it? Through a vessel of flesh, through a veil. See? And the manifestation of God's word is the interpretation of it. And God doesn't manifest his word to just put on a show. I've been saying for years now that we are headed for a judgment like we've never seen before. Because if God's word, if God will strike the earth with plagues for the rejection of an incomplete word, then how much more when the fullness of the word has come? If one-fourth of the world's population died from tuberculosis after turning down Martin Luther's message, and 1 billion, or about one-third of the world's population, were struck down with the Spanish influenza because they turned down the baptism of the Holy Spirit, then what about turning down the baptizer himself? What about their turning down the shout? What about their turning down the rapture message and the change that it will bring? What has the world got to look forward to? Nothing but judgment. From the angel and his commission, Brother Branham said, if I came here to Phoenix in the name of a prophet, and I do not the things that a prophet does, then don't believe me. But if I come in the name of a prophet, in the name of prophecy, and ask his servant, and do the things that is written of his servant, then you believe me. Will you do that? If the deaf don't hear, and the dumb don't speak, and the blind don't see, and the cripples don't walk, if prophecies of sin isn't foretold in the people in your sins from the time that you was a child forward, then believe that this angel that came to me is false, and I'm false with it. But if it manifests itself here on the platform before you, you believe it and repent of your sins and disbelief. For the hour of his visitation is drawing near. That's right. Now this is 1947. The hour of his visitation is drawing near. That's right. For he only does those things to confirm his word. Look, before any judgments ever sent to the earth, God sends forth and warns the people. That's right. And friends, you listen to my word. If it's in touch with God, one of the greatest judgments that's ever hit all the world is on its road. Now remember that. Someday I'll be gone. But you'll remember, many of you young people, and some of you older, will see that I have told you the truth. That's right. One of the greatest judgments that's ever hit the world is on its road. And he says, you younger people, mark my words, because you'll see it. For Melchizedek, the great prince, Brother Brown said, healing of the body doesn't become a fiction, it becomes a reality. The baptism of the Holy Spirit doesn't become any emotion. Worked up substance, it only becomes a reality of the indwelling presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to change a life. So we're talking about the Word of God. The vindication of that Word is the manifestation of it. And what does it do? It brings a reality. If there's no reality, brother, sister, where are we at? We might as well eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. From the proof of his resurrection, Brother Brown said, they didn't understand what that meant. It blinded their eyes. His miracles and things blinded their eyes, and so is it today. The same thing will blind the eyes of the carnal mind, because it can't understand the things of God. It's against God. It's an enemy of God. The human mind is an enemy of God. You've got to get out of your own mind and be born anew by the Holy Spirit and get the mind of God in you. Then you can believe those things. Then it becomes a reality. Amen. From waters of separation. He said, that's what's the matter with the people today. You come to the church, the water of separation, that's all right. Hear the word, that's very good. You get separated from your sin. But you go out with an intellectual faith. That's the reason you can't believe. That's the reason you go back out and you sin the way that you did before. The reason that you can't hold up from one revival to another. If you let that intellectual faith move down through your brains into your heart, then it would become a reality with a new birth. Then it'll stay there, anchored forever. God seals you in by the Holy Spirit, and it's settled forever. Well, that's the problem missing in the message today, is the new birth. And yet those who turn down the baptizer himself, and all they preach about is a new birth, new birth, new birth, they don't even have it. They don't have it. How could they have it and turn down the word? How could Ananias and Sapphira be saved if they lie to the Holy Ghost? How can the Holy Ghost lie to himself? He can't. From the infallibility of God's Word, Brother Branson, and every time God makes a thought, it's a creation, and then he speaks it, it becomes a reality. So every word in this Bible is God's spoken creative thought. And every time it takes into the ground, it'll be made manifest. Amen. Then all the spooks drop away. Every shadow moves. And we stand anchored. Nothing can shake you, see? All the superstitions and ups and downs is passed away. Then we're right on the Word. God can't do nothing but honor that Word. He has to keep it. It's Him. The Word is God. And from belief in the heart, he said, until it drops into here, from your head to your heart, until it becomes a reality, then it'll work. Only can it work when it comes into the heart. And so, last Sunday we spoke on how that had to be, that the heart had to be changed. The Holy Spirit was here in the form of the pillar of fire to bring forth a change into our heart. And that's all I have for tonight. I just wanted to bring out those thoughts, let you know that the manifestation of God is taking place. It's vindication is what it does. And it's supposed to do one thing, and that's to bring a reality to us. If it doesn't bring a reality to us, where are we at? If the message hasn't become a reality to us, or we're just denominational creatures, we're going to try to get in by just a different window or something, instead of the Word, which is Christ. So I think it behooves us this Easter coming up. We know that there was many that partook of the resurrection. Many saw the resurrection. There was over 500 people at one time. There's 120 another time. There was the apostles and the women at different times. So we know that there was hundreds, literally hundreds. And the Bible said there was, when it used the word many, it meant a multiplicity, a great number, were aware of the resurrection. And yet, how many of those people became sealed in by the Holy Ghost? It's interesting to know that at least 500 people saw Jesus walking and saw the saints walking around, and yet there's only 120 on the day of Pentecost. Just like there was thousands, literally thousands, were fed the fish and loaves. 70 that followed Jesus, and of the 70, only 12 stuck with him, and one of them was the devil. Could it be that when the resurrection begins to take place, people will know about it? Listen, this message, anything happens to this message, is known around the world within hours, days, at the most. And will it do them any good? That's the question I ask. Will it do us any good? Are we being dressed in the Word, in the robes of His righteousness, by His Spirit?